have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host, KBKM.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Unfortunately, stress and anxiety often accompany discussions about our finances, but we must remember that God is sovereign over everything. There is nothing too difficult for him. If you are feeling anxiety over your finances, then you probably have not truly given the situation over to God. If you are experiencing constant financial anxiety, I recommend, first of all, that you make sure you are tithing faithfully. Regardless of your challenges, it is important that you honor God with the first tenth of your earnings. Number two, pray. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God doesn't want us to carry stress and anxiety, and he has offered the solution for your anxiety. You just have to go to him in prayer and allow him to give you peace in the midst of the storm. Number three, meditate on God's word. God's word is filled with guidance on finances. In fact, as you read many of the parables that Jesus gave us in the Gospels, you will note that many of them actually provide guidance as to how to handle our finances. As you meditate on his word, ask the Lord to help you make the changes necessary to come in full alignment with his will with respect to your finances. Number four, develop a budget which allows you to pay down your debt. This may require that you speak with your creditors to develop a payment plan which will work within your budget. Remember, ultimately, creditors want to be paid. They don't want to send you to collections. They simply want to collect what is owed to them. While we may be tempted to ignore the voicemails from collectors, that is the worst mistake you can make. While you ignore them, hoping the problem will magically disappear, they will become convinced that you have no intention of paying your obligation. God does expect us to pay our debts, so we must proactively seek to resolve them. And number five, you must remain faithful and patient. Remember to praise God throughout your difficulty and know that he will bring you through. God will reward your faithfulness. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, God has promised his peace when we are directed by his Spirit. It may take some time to get completely back on track, but you will have a peace within that only God can provide because he will be guiding you through the financial difficulties. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Elder Ernest Richard Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's gospel news. One of the major figures in gospel music in the 21st century is Pastor Donnie McClurkin. He occupies a territory that lies somewhere between the modern gospel of Kirk Franklin, the gospel soul of Andre Crouch, and the contemporary traditionalism of Marvin Winans, establishing his own church in Freeport, New York in 2001. By that point, he had one hit record under his belt, an enormous 1996 set of Warner Alliance and the Perfecting Church served as a foundation for McClurkin to not only build upon his musical career, but to expand into television and film. He formed the McClurkin Singers while he was an adolescent. He would form the New York Restoration Choir, which recorded an album called I See a World, before he headed to Detroit to become an associate minister in 1989. McClurkin signed with Warner Alliance, which released his first self-titled debut album in 1996. This album featured the hit Stand, along with Speak to My Heart. It was revived from the New York Restoration Choir. Donnie McClurkin turned it into a hit, winning a Grammy for Traditional Soul Gospel Album and earning a Dove Award nomination. It would later be certified gold. This helped establish Donnie McClurkin as a star in his own right. He contributed two songs to the 1998 animated film The Prince of Egypt, gained greater momentum with the 2000 release of Live in London and More, which hit number one on the Billboard Gospel charts and was on its way to platinum certification. It also gave him his only R&B crossover in the form of the single We Fall Down. In 2014, on RCA Inspiration, Donnie McClurkin, the album Duets, it debuted at number four on the gospel charts, and in 2016, the same label issued The Journey Live. Early 2019 saw McClurkin issue the single Not Yet, which was inspired by surviving a serious automobile accident. A few more singles appeared throughout the year in advance of his next album, A Different Song, which was released in November. The Stellar Awards not only recognizes the year's best performances in the genre, but honors gospel music icons and those who have been instrumental in advocating for the gospel industry. Here's the 2021 Stellar Gospel Music Award winners. Artist of the Year, Pastor Mike Jr. Song of the Year, Something Has to Break Live featuring Tasha Cobb Leonard and Kiara Sheard. Male Vocalist of the Year, Jonathan McReynolds. The Albertina Walker Female Vocalist of the Year, Tasha Cobb Leonard. Group Duo of the Year, The Clark Sisters. New Artist of the Year, Maverick City Music. Album of the Year, Maverick City Music, Volume 3, Part 1. Choir of the Year, J.J. Harrison. Producer of the Year, Jonathan McReynolds. Contemporary Group Duo of the Year, Anthony Brown and Group Therapy. Traditional Group Duo of the Year, The Clark Sisters. Contemporary Male Artist of the Year, Jonathan McReynolds. Traditional Male Artist of the Year, Donnie McClurkin. Contemporary Female of the Year, Tasha Cobb Leonard. Traditional Female of the Year, Jacqueline Carr. Contemporary Album of the Year, Kiara by Kiara Sheard. Traditional Album of the Year, Changing Your Story, Jacqueline Carr. Urban Inspirational Single or Performance of the Year, I Got It, Pastor Mike Jr. Music Video of the Year, Something Has to Break Live, James Harrison IV. Traditional Choir of the Year, Ricky Dillard. Contemporary Choir of the Year, J.J. Harrison. Instrumental Gospel Album of the Year, My Tribute by Myron Butler. Special Event Album of the Year, The First Ladies of Gospel, The Clark Sisters Biopic Soundtrack. Rap Hip Hop Gospel Album of the Year, Big Freedom Sessions, Pastor Mike Jr. Youth Project of the Year, Anthony White and Detroit Youth Choir. Quartet of the Year, Young Men for Christ. Recorded Music Packaging of the Year, Royalty, Live at the Ryman, Justin Foster and Drew Kellum. Praise and Worship Album of the Year, Royalty, Live at the Ryman, Tasha Cobb Leonard. The James Cleveland Lifetime Achievement Award goes to the Clark Sisters. The Aretha Franklin Icon Award went to Tremaine Hawkins. Thomas A. Dorsey Most Notable Achievement Award, Bishop Dr. Leonard Scott. Ambassador Dr. Bobby Jones Legends Award, Pastor Shirley Caesar. Stellar Honors Hall of Fame inductees include Carrie Douglas, Dr. Teresa Harrison, and Skip Barrett. Well, that's your Stellar Award winners for 2021 and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can find all my outlets on my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
Okay, there we go. Now I got you. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Ernest E. Richard Jr., your host for The Pastor's Corner, taking this time to be with you on this particular Thursday night at 10 p.m. We bless God for each and every one of you being with us. We just want to just take a little bit of time to thank each and every one of you who prayed with us and for us in our venture to Haiti. I don't know if I made mention of it. Don't know if I talked a whole lot about it on the airwaves, and I really wasn't going to. Actually was going to sort of kind of cancel the show tonight because I'm not 100%, but I'm going to do the very best that I can to make my way through. Nonetheless, let me find out who's here. Oh, excuse me. Leading off, as always, and he's been with me since almost the second year of this show, just checking to see if Apostle Irvin Whitlow has showed up. How you doing, my brother?
Well, the Lord bless you, man, and God, thank God for the opportunity to be back. We've been on vacation, and now here we are back to tackle some new subjects and to let the people know that the Pastor's Corner is still the number one show. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I thank God. Keep us in prayer. Now, next, we're going to go up into the New Haven area and check to see if our Apostle Vincent L. Smith has attended or made it in. Apostle, are you with us today?
You can make it. You can make it. This trial you're going through. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you wouldn't be saying this demonic solo. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I am here. I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's get this podcast happening. Amen.
And I got to check for the rest. For a minute there, Apostle Whitlow, I thought he says you can be naked. I was going to say, oh, yearly. I didn't realize that. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. Let me find out if our ladies are in the house. Let me start with, I have to save the best for last. So when I put her last, it's not because she's the least thought of. She's the most important. But before I go to her, Minister Paula Henderson, are you in tonight?
Yes, I am. Praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth.
Amen. So happy to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's find out if my dear sister from another mother from Indianapolis, Indiana is here. Pastor Anna Henderson, are you here tonight?
Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusted in him. I'm so glad to be a part on tonight.
Y'all just trying to make me feel better with all this good word coming up. Now for the best. And she is by no means last, neither is she the least. She keeps this show on its toes and keeps it moving forward every week that we come together. And I want you all to just take a minute and say hello to our dear sister, Kim Robinson. Kimmy Kim, how are you?
I'm good. Kimmy Kim is in the building. Are you smiling?
Always.
Amen.
I mean, when
I hear people smiling.
She wants to hear me smile. That's beautiful. All right. Now, is there anybody that I may have overlooked, sidestepped, or gone around and didn't realize you were there? If you're here with us, would you please take a minute to let us know who you are and where you're from? Is there anyone else? Okay.
You didn't recognize the bishop from Mexico.
The bishop elect? Yeah.
No,
I'm gonna call bishop.
You recognize the bishop of Mexico.
No, I don't want no. He's been banned on two different occasions. Every time he comes on, he don't know how to act. We're banning the bishop from Canada who lives in Mexico, or Africa, I'm sorry, who lives in Mexico. He is not allowed on this show, not tonight. We're not going to do a very long show tonight. We're going to try to at least stretch it out for at least 1 hour, but we're going to try to be as informative as possible. So without further ado, Minister Paula Henderson, would you please pray us in? And I'm going to do something different after she finished praying us in. Pastor Anna Henderson, we want to pick up. You women had a great discussion last week, and we want to jump back in it and let the fellas have a piece of the action here. So I'm going to just ask you, after she finishes praying, for you to give us and get us up to speed on what it was you talked about last week so we can jump in the water too.
Amen.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Minister Paul Henderson.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. Lord God, we thank you for this time that we can come together and share in your word, Lord God, and fellowship, Lord God. And we pray that as we go throughout this particular broadcast, Lord God, that you would just bless us to speak what's on your mind, Lord God, to convey what's on your heart, Lord God, so that someone may hear, Lord God, and be informed of God of how you feel and the things that you want to say to them on tonight, Lord God, and that they may be touched, healed, set free, and delivered. We thank you, Lord God, that you will be in our midst, Lord God, and let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight and in your ear, Lord God. Hallelujah. We give you all praise and all glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Henderson, fill us in on where you were last week. What was it that you were talking about? Such a beautiful discussion.
Amen. Last week we were talking to the women. Last week we were talking about the topic entitled Broken Focus. And our scripture text was taken out of Matthew 14, verses 28 through 32. And as we looked at this scripture, we were looking at it in light of the troublesome times in which we're living in and how it is important to have your focus in the right place. And as we looked at the word broken focus, we were defining it as a shift from your concentration, your interest, or your activity. In other words, we talked about it as distractions and how it is important to get rid of the distractions so that our focus will remain in the right place. And then we began to position that scripture in text of 2021, where we're living in right now in this pandemic, and looking at how Peter, as he began to walk on the water, he began to do the impossible. But as his focus became shifted, because he began to look at the winds and the waves, how his focus was broken. And at that time, he began to sink. And so from that point on, we began to look at the importance of having our focus in the right place. We began to look at the words, the broken focus, and how it is important to have our focus in the Lord Jesus Christ versus having our focus in a worldview focus, having our mind on what's going on in the news and all the distractions that pull us away from the things of God. And then we began to look at how important our thought process is as it relates to staying focused on the right things. The scripture tells us to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, seeking those things which are above. And then we looked at the focus in light of the times of where we are and where we're going. We talked about the focus and how when your focus becomes shifted, how it affects your commitment, and not only just your commitment in the natural things, but your commitment with the Lord and your confidence and your commitment to stay focused on that commitment with him as you go through the turbulent times in life and the challenges, and that when your focus remains in the right place, it helps you to keep a commitment. And then in closing, we kind of closed out and we talked about that commitment piece and the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we, as our scripture, other scriptures we kind of tied in was Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, often the finisher of our faith. And then looking at focus as it relates to lighting is important when you're talking about having the right focus, how light is important. And we know that Jesus is the light of the world. And we know that Jesus is that word. And in Psalms 119 and 105, it says, God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So when we put the word of God in our light, in our viewpoint, it becomes the light that lights up our focus and lights up our path and helps us to have the right perspective. So that was the gist of our topic, and we thought it was relevant because so many people in this day and time are losing focus because they're becoming overwhelmed of all the distractions that's happening in this pandemic. So it's our desire to address some of those issues that will help us keep our focus in the right place so that we can reach the destiny that God would have us to be in this time.
All right. Amen. And we do so appreciate the wonderful work and the discussion that you had. So many great things were brought out. But tonight we're going to pick it up and probably do, it's not going to be a twist or a change. It's going to be pretty much along the same lines. But my brothers and sisters, tonight we are going to continue with broken focus, because there are other avenues and areas of broken focus that we need to chime in on. So here's where I'm going to start, and I'm going to ask this very first question. Did anybody define, I mean, you defined broken focus just now and what it was and what you felt like it was. But to my brothers, Apostle Whitlow and Apostle Smith, broken focus, when we're dealing with the church as leaders, pastors, and those who have to look out, watch over the souls of the sheep, when do we discover times of broken focus within the congregation? I mean, let's just make it a generalized discussion, and it's not just for us. Ladies, it's definitely for you, because there are just so many avenues and so many areas, you know, and I've got to bring one passage of Scripture up that wasn't mentioned, but I'm going to throw this out there, because too many times we misuse and misquote this Scripture, not understanding its content and where it's supposed to go. We've often heard the Scripture, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And is it possible that the destruction comes as a result of their broken focus, which means that they lack the ability to concentrate on what is important? They're majoring in minors and minoring in majors. Can that be a possibility, anybody? I'm just asking. Yes, no, I ain't sure.
I think it can be. I think some of it stems from people's desire. I believe that if the desire isn't there, the focus won't be there. My motto has been no will, no demand. But when there's a will, the demand is overwhelming, because then you're required to meet everything concerning that demand. So when you think of broken focus, there are people who don't have the will to be focused, so there's no demand for them. I'm going to hold right there.
All right. What about you, Apostle Smith?
It was well answered. It's already been well answered. So
okay.
I'm going to let the sisters carry on if they have anything more, they're
going
to add to it.
Well, they're actually putting the ball in our court, and they're joining us, or we're joining them. We're joining forces for tonight. And, you know, I just think it's an important issue, because when we do look at things like that and that type of distraction that goes on within the body of Christ, my mind goes quickly over, I believe it's 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, when it talks about perilous times and men being, you know, heady and high-minded, and, you know, they're no longer focusing on the glory of God. They're no longer focusing, and I'm talking church leaders right now, you know, they're too busy trying to be showmen, too busy trying to be popular, too busy trying to build their quote-unquote brand. And I don't believe that the Lord called us to brand build. I think the Lord called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, first and foremost, to be a witness unto him, to bear witness to the fact that he did indeed come to the earth, spend 33 1/3 years here, eventually laid his life down, and then took it back up at the appropriate time through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe the Lord has put us here, and I got nothing against people selling their books, tapes, CDs, and all that kind of stuff, because there are some of us who preach so many sermons that, you know, the recorded material becomes available. But is it possible that we could come to the point and place where we're more focused on the recorded material than we are what is needed and necessary as nourishment and nutrition for the body? Ladies, any comment to that? Don't everybody run up and answer at once, please.
Well, just to some of what you said, when you're talking about broken focus, something has to cause your focus to be broken, which means that you have to be looking at something that causes you to be distracted from what you initially were focused on. So when you're talking about the church, you know, what is more important than Jesus? Why is the focus broken is my question. What is it that you're focusing on? Because I remember when, you know, church service was, you know, you would go into the church and there wasn't a set time. Now there's everything is, there's an order. You know, you have to be out by a certain time.
and the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes doesn't get to flow the way, you know, it probably would if you're not focused on, okay, it has to be a certain time, the choir has to be up at, you know, or even, I don't know, that we don't even have choirs anymore. They're, you know, it's just the praise team that gets up. I mean, just it seems like that the church is focusing on some of the aesthetic things as opposed to mm-hmm. making Jesus the focus. I don't know. What does someone else think?
Come on.
I think, Rich.
Yes, sir.
I want to go back to where I made my closing statement last week.
Go for it.
The focus is broken because we're now living in a day, in an hour. This is where I was trying to go last week. We're living in a day, in an hour, where everybody is crying, I'm born again,
mm-hmm.
I'm a Christian,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm a believer,
mm-hmm.
but really have no evidence of salvation. But
all right.
I said last week, how is the true believer all focused when we can take the Bible, if you know how to do it? We are living in such a day that we can take the Bible and almost tell the news before the anchor man or anchor woman tell it.
Come on.
The word is being unveiled right before our eyes, and if that is so, if the thing is being unveiled right before us, it seems as though it would drive us further in prayer. It would drive us to Bible study. It would drive us to prayer. It would drive
uh-huh.
us to service. But we have come to the hour of the seven churches, and God knows we need to get to teaching that a little bit more. We have really
yes.
come to the hour of the seven churches of Revelation.
Amen.
It's unveiling before our eyes on a daily basis that the church is sick, the church is in trouble, and as the Paul just said, that the church has now got itself boxed up with this time issue. God has
okay.
never told us to worry about the time when it comes to worshiping him. Matter of fact,
okay.
I know a pastor. She said the Lord whipped her for getting into the time thing. She said because the Spirit did not move in their church anymore when she tried to start having 90-minute service. She said, but
wow.
soon as she released it and went back to what God was doing, they began to see crazy move of God again. I'm
now,
telling y'all, this stuff is bondage.
I want to throw something out there because, and I'm going to say it this way. This isn't to rebut what you just said, but I'm going to throw this out here because these conversations I have had with other pastors and other leaders. And of course, you know, and I know Apostle Whitlow, you were about to say something, but let me throw this out there real quick. And then I want to hear what you have to say. Think about this. Yeah, we have become time conscious in our worship service. And in the process of becoming time conscious, we have lost the fervor of the Spirit. I'll be the first to agree to that. And then at the same time, I will also say that God, being in his infinite wisdom, has the ability to move, whether it's a short period of time or a long period of time. It's not even about the, first of all, we serve a God of eternity. And because we serve a God of eternity, he is not wrapped, tied, or tangled in time. We are. And this is where the dilemma comes for the various churches that think a 90-minute service is sufficient, those that think a three-hour service is sufficient, those that think an all-day Sunday service is sufficient, because we are wrapped, tied, and tangled in the annals of time, not necessarily God. Many of us leave our houses with our baggage and our worries, our concerns, and our cares, and we march into the church with everything on our mind except Jesus. And so it takes God knows how long to get into the flow of the Spirit simply because of the fact that we never came in. And when the scripture says in Psalms, enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, enter his courts with praise, we don't enter with that. We enter with gossip on our lips. We enter his courts with hate in our hearts sometimes. We enter in just having a fight with our husband or our kids, and we can't say it takes a minute to get focused. I would simply say this. There, back in the day, and y'all know exactly what I'm about to say and what I'm talking about. Back in the day, my parents used to prepare for Sunday service Saturday night. Okay? So by the time we got to church, and not every Sunday was what we would call your joyful Sunday. A lot of them, it was a struggle. I sat up in the balcony of Thomas Chapel Church because that's where we were going at the time. And I have watched where folk have tried to make things happen and nothing really took off. And then I have seen times when the Spirit of God came in, and I wasn't very familiar with the Spirit of God back then, but I was familiar with the move of God because I had seen it before. And when the Holy Spirit came in and began to stir the place up, there was an awakening and a shaking and a quaking, and not necessarily from the natural standpoint, but from the spiritual standpoint. And God would use various ones to either speak a word or, you know, sing a song, whatever the case may be. My point is simply this. We, and when I say we, I'm talking about today's church, has become so conscious of time, whether it's long or short, to the point where we don't give the Spirit of God the opportunity and chance to flow like he wants to. We want it to be the way we want it. I got 90 minutes, and so I got to get this in. I'm taping a TV show. And, you know, well, yeah, okay, let the TV show run out, but you keep on going. Am I making sense? I'm not, again, I'm not rebutting what you said. I was just throwing something out there.
Let me ride with you a little bit.
Okay.
If we go back a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you where this spirit of time structure came from.
Mm-hmm.
When all these corporate businessmen,
yes,
who decided they no longer wanted to be in corporate America, and they started opening churches.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in with the corporate mindset.
Exactly.
That church should be structured just like a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't help none. It didn't help none that just, oh, God, in the last, I'll say the last 12 to 15 years, that book went crazy in the church, a five-star church.
Mm-hmm.
And really the five-star church book was nothing but corporate America trying
mm-hmm.
to restructure the church. The
mm-hmm.
five-star book actually suggested that you should invite people like the manager from the Walmart, somebody from Chick-fil-A, somebody from McDonald's, somebody from Lord and Taylor to come and
uh-huh.
sit in your service and take notes and then have a meeting with you and your board to tell you what's wasting too much time in your service, how to better structure your service. Why in the world is the world going to come into church and tell the church how to bless our God?
And I couldn't agree with you more. Anybody that wants to jump in on this, please do not hesitate. We are not doing any particular semblance or order. We are just having a general discussion tonight, okay? I mean, just like y'all know how we do on the Pastor's Corner, and those of you listening by way of by radio, we welcome you and thank you for taking the time to tune in. Those who are listening by way of internet, I know we're not doing Facebook Live or any of the other social media tonight, but we want to help you understand where we have to get back to. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ said it best when he spoke about the Laodicean church. You have lost your first love. Many of us on this phone would jump up. I haven't lost anything. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Yet we never open our mouths to speak against something that does not line up with the word of God. Does not the scripture say, and grieve not the Holy Spirit? Somebody help me out. Maybe I just made that up. You know, that might have been pasted in there somewhere in the Bible that only I got. Is that what it says? Best way to go ahead, talk. Don't wait for me. I'm waiting for one of the ladies to open their mouth and to share with us. Pastor Henderson, come on.
I'm smelling peach cobbler.
All right. But, I mean, the bottom line is this. When you talk about broken focus, so let me go back to the scriptures that they mentioned in Matthew. Peter, after they got the bejeebies scared out of them, you could tell that told us right there that, you know, that they were, you know, just as human as the next angel. I asked this question and still hadn't gotten an answer. Is there a reason why Peter was the only one that got out of the boat? What were the other 11 thinking at that time? I can't say what they were thinking, but let me look at that for a minute. I mean, broken focus. I mean, I'm sitting there watching one of my contemporaries get out of a boat and walk on water like he might be walking on a linoleum floor. I don't know about y'all, but I would be so awestruck, I would want to do it. I'm serious. I would want to do it. Well, if he did it for Peter, he could do it for me. Does that make sense? But that's not what happened. We hear the story of Peter sitting there and decided, Lord, if that is you, bid me to come. And what's Jesus' words? Come. And see, this is what Jesus is saying to those of us who have lost focus. Come. Bring me your worries. Bring me your cares. Bring me your concerns. Bring me your burdens. Bring me your idiosyncrasies. Bring me your issues. Come. But in the process of coming, make it your business to lock in and tune in to the Spirit. Does that make sense to anybody besides me?
I'm going to throw this just a statement out, and I'm going to move because the gobbler's sitting on the table now, and you waiting to serve it. When you look at that scripture, and here's the statement I want to make, fear cripples a supernatural experience.
And now, you know what? I'm glad you said that. But finish your statement. Apostle, I want to hear from
that
you next. Whitlow.
That was the statement.
Yeah, but,
I smell peach cobbler.
Yeah, listen, we're going to have to hold that peach cobbler because there's some ribs coming out the oven. Now, think about this. Fear did cripple because 11 others were disabled from doing what one ended up doing. And Jesus didn't specifically point Peter out. Peter specifically involved himself. What is that saying to us today? Pastor Kimmy Kim. Boy, I don't put pastor it already. Dr. Robinson, Kimmy Robinson, what does that say to you when fear cripples an opportunity for a miracle? How do you relate to that? When you find yourself in a position where you want to believe the word, but you're so focused on the situation, on the circumstance, and you just got the bejeebies scared out of you because you thought you saw a ghost. I mean, how do you handle that situation? Talk to me.
Well, I've been there in my earlier years as a believer in my early 20s,
mm-hmm.
you know. When you allowed yourself to be in control of the situation instead of giving it to the Lord, it becomes more of a burden. And so, yes, I've been there. I've been there when I second-guessed myself. I didn't know what I was doing. I was arrogant. Like I said,
wait. You second guess yourself?
Yeah.
The great Dr. Kimmy Robinson second guessed herself?
Because I put things in my hands. Because I put things in my hands, and I didn't trust the Lord at that time. But what it has taught me is the fact that everyone starts somewhere from the boat. So Peter, I volunteer, but you have to grow in grace. It's a growing process. You don't get to this peace and this joy overnight. It has to be cultivated. You have to be diligently seeking after Him. Diligently means.
Amen.
You want Him every day. You want Him all the time. You have to involve yourself in Him so that you can grow. And so when you don't water your spirit with the Word or feed your spirit with the Word, you can't grow. It's like a plant. A plant needs nourishment every day so that it will grow. Your spirit needs the same thing. So if you don't grow, you can't become closer, even though I still believe that you can't lose your salvation. But at the same time, you're crippling yourself into greatness, because the more you believe in the Lord, the more things He allow you to happen, because He will only give you things that you can handle. And so I have always thought this, the devil will give you things that you want right away, and he'll take it away. But God, I really believe there is a progress that God gives us. He can bless you overnight if He really wanted to, but He knows what you can handle. So that's why it's important that when you get on this road for the first time, you must have a mentor. And I've been blessed with some mentors in my life.
See, now that's vital and important. Ladies, the Henderson sisters, either of you want to comment on this or just kind of chime in a little bit here? Come on and share with us. And see, what I really want us to do is let's break this thing open, wide open. Why does fear hinder an opportunity for the miraculous to take place? Why do we allow fear to box us in, to put us in the closet? And I'm asking that in reference to the other 11 who sat in the boat. I don't know what they were doing, but I'm very sure they saw Peter walk on the water. I'm very sure they heard Peter say, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come." Why didn't they speak up? How come they didn't open their mouth? How come I didn't hear, "Me too," and "Me too," "Me too"? I want to walk on the water. How come we didn't hear any of that? I mean, I'm not asking you to answer it. Just share with me what's going through your mind with that thought process. Ladies, y'all awake?
I just think that, one thing that Dr. Kimmy Kim said, you know, about that being consistent, that stood out to me, her saying that, because you do have to be consistent in your walk with God. You can't be in the world 1 minute and out of the world, you know, and then think you're going to come into church and you're going to get, you know, just on Sunday and think you're going to get that miracle when you've been dabbling in the devil all week. There has to be some consistency.
Can I throw a word into your sentence and let you finish? In other words, you're telling me you can't straddle the fence. Is that right?
You can't straddle the fence. That's exactly right.
Thank you. So go ahead and finish, because I didn't want to stop you because you are on such a great roll. But, you know, you can't straddle the fence, yet many
absolutely
do. Absolutely. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You can't
go
back and forth, because that wavering is what's going to cause you to fall. Even Jesus said, you know, why did you doubt? I mean, he was going to Jesus. There was a miracle in progress. And in a split moment, he let something come in, you know, the wind, you know, something that's even invisible, come in and throw him off course in that split second. Mm-hmm. So the same way, we cannot allow little distractions that the enemy might throw here and there, or temptations, whatever it might be, for you, fear, you know, things that should not take precedence over Jesus, over God, the Almighty, you know, the word that you should have in your heart that would help your faith to stand strong. So, I mean, when you're not consistent in prayer, consistent in you know, those things that would keep your spirit man built up, then it's gonna, you're gonna waver, you're gonna fall. You're not gonna be able to receive what God has for you because you're constantly doubting. That self doubt will come in, or you know, fear or whatever the enemy might tempt you with to get you to fall off. And so you're going to lose your focus if you're not consistent.
All right. Apostle Whitlow, I know you were about to say something a minute ago, and please forgive me because I think I may have sidetracked your thought process, and I hope I didn't. But what were you going to say about a minute ago?
I have no idea.
I sidetracked you, and I do apologize, sir.
I will
go
say
ahead.
This in reference to the question as to why the other 11 didn't get out of the boat and walk on the water. Because the reality is that they received instructions. The instructions were to go to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. Be on the other
side.
Okay. That was the
now,
word that they had received.
I'm going to.
Well, let me finish.
I want to throw something
at you. Let me finish.
Go ahead. I definitely want you to finish because you know I got something to throw at you on that, but go ahead.
So
go
the,
ahead.
The word was go to the other side, point blank period. Like us, when something challenges us, we want God to change our assignment or change our destination. The other 11 weren't afraid. The other 11 just wanted to get through it to get to the other side. There are those who want to get through it. There's those who want to stay in it, and there are those who want to get out of it. So Peter wanted to get out of it. But if you read the text, the Bible says that when he was walking on the water, yes, the wind became boisterous. He was distracted. He lost focus, and he began to sink. When Jesus picked him up, the Bible tells us that Jesus took him back on the boat. What does that say? That says he was trying to get away from going where he was supposed to go, and that's the thing that people miss. That's why it ain't about if you want to walk on the water, you have to get on the boat. No, the thing is, can you go through the storm and keep moving forward? Because here's the reality. When we are traveling up and down the road and there is a severe thunderstorm, it is raining like cats and dogs, we don't stop because the storm is coming that crazy. No, what we do is we might slow down a little bit, but we turn on our hazard lights, but we ain't turning around to go back to where we came from. Why? We've covered too much ground. So what we do is we keep plowing. We keep thriving. We keep moving forward. A storm's purpose is to stop you or turn you around. And so, in fact, that's what happened with Peter, if the truth be told, and we be theological. He was turned around. The same one who got the revelation of who Jesus was is the same one who was turned around. The same one who could speak boldly is the same one who was turned around. And that's what's happened with the body of Christ. We are in this thing, and what we have determined, instead of going through it, what we've determined is to allow it to ask, and he calls us to ask God to change our assignment. Lord, I don't want to do this way no more. Lord, I don't want to focus this way. I don't want to function this way. So, Lord, why don't you give me something different? Lord, give me something that's not as challenging. Lord, give me something that I don't have to stress over or frustrate myself over. That's what's going on in today's church. And so that's why the world has come into the church, because what has happened is the world has become the church's storm, and instead of plowing through it, we've been turned and detoured and deferred and delayed, and now we're wondering why we're getting denied of so many things when the objective is to keep going. The Bible says you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved, which means you got to keep moving forward. You got to keep thriving. You got to keep pushing. You got to go under the pressure. You got to let the enemy know you ain't turning me around. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. So I come too far. I'm going to hush my mouth, but I come too far to turn around now. That's what I'm going to say.
Now, I'm going to throw this at you because I go right back to the beginning, and I heard every word you said. Thank you so much for sharing with us and bringing these things to light. See, I see it from a different perspective because their focus was broken the minute they thought they saw a ghost. It's not that they weren't still trying to get across to the other side. That moment caused a distraction among them. And I'd like to believe, this is Ernest 1&1, I ain't got no biblical or theological basis to back up what I'm about to say. This is theory, and just straight theory. The distraction of they stopped doing what it was they were doing. They were already working against the elements, trying to get to the other side. They stopped for that fleeting moment in terror and began to cry out. When Jesus says, "Stop, you know, don't be afraid, fellas, it's only me," a sigh of relief comes over them. I don't believe they picked up their mission and began rowing, because it was in that moment that Peter opened his mouth and said what he said, which means that for that split second that they were distracted and that they lost focus because they thought they saw a ghost, their mission wasn't aborted, but it was temporarily halted. And then we get the thing of the storm and the walking on the water. That's just me. That's what I think. And I hear what you're saying, because when you're dealing with the body of Christ in this day and age, it seems like the littlest things. What is it? Now, Spirit, woo, thank you, Holy Ghost. How is it that there are two people that get that? And I'm going to talk from a financial standpoint. There are two people that should be getting paid from the church and his chief musician. Can we say that safely? Yes, no? Anybody agree, disagree? Hello? Okay.
Go ahead.
How is it that you'll hand the pastor a check for $200 and then you'll bring a gospel artist or another bishop into the church and that bishop wants $50,000 to come to your church and preach? What? The angel in your house ain't worth that kind of money. Not that we're caught up in the money aspects. We lose focus because we start valuing people's prestige. We start valuing, you know, the sensationalism of what we see by way of television or what we hear on radio drives us to up the value on the individual that we're trying to contact to come in and do what we think is ministry or what we call ministry. Is it really ministry or is it a circus in disguise? I'm going to leave that right there. Anybody else got any comments?
Off of what you just said, I've been sitting here about the last 5-7 minutes thinking about that Galatian scripture.
Go ahead.
Oh, foolish Galatians.
Who has bewitched you
that you should not obey the truth? What is happening now? Everybody want to be a part of a Jones family. They want to be a part of mega ministry, and you in a box. Do what you do, and do it the way God gave it to you, and stay on focus. How God want to use you, how God wants to formulate and move in your house and speak through you the way he want to speak through you. What we have allowed the bewitching of different kinds of ministry, different kind of things that are going on, to infiltrate our own local ministries, and now we're bound up and the focus is off and we're not doing our assignment because we don't let ourselves become bewitched watching what other folks are doing.
I would agree with that. Pastor Henderson, we haven't heard from you in a minute. Comment? Pastor Henderson, take yourself off mute. Wake up. Come back to us. Lazarus, come forth. I'm sorry.
Amen. I apologize. I was trying to click over, but it wouldn't let me come in. Amen. This is, it's so many different angles you can look at the discussion and the discussion topic.
And I just kind of want to take it back to where we are with the pandemic and just talking with different ones as I, you know, minister to different ones and different ones share their stories with me. And, you know, talking with different ones, so many people are distracted, and some of their distraction is coming from so many different areas of life right now. You know, there's a lot of loss. There's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of things that's happening with individuals. They're feeling, I had someone say, I just feel like I'm on overload, you know. And they were expressing that they felt like so much is going on with the pandemic, what's going on with the wars and rumors of wars. People don't have jobs. People don't know what they're going to do about their medical. So many different things that people are dealing with, and it's causing their focus to be off. And so they're not able to focus in on God the way that they probably would if they didn't have these distractions. So being able to navigate through the storm of the things that are happening around them. And I think you started out with a question about my people are destroyed, the scripture, should I say, for lack of knowledge. And I think knowledge has a part of it. I heard a person will say desire, and I agree with what he had said earlier as well. Is doing what God would have you to do in this hour, being obedient, following the instructions that he has for us in this hour, in spite of the distractions, in spite of the loss, in spite of the disappointment, we still have to navigate through the storm in obedience to what it is God would have us to do. And some people are challenged with that because, you know, and then there's so many things. When you don't feel good, you have some people that are challenged because they don't feel good in their bodies. And so that can be a challenge. That can be a distraction. So what do you do when you're ministering to people? We're talking about real life situations. We can deal with this topic from so many different angles. But where we are right now and in our world where, you know, talking to different people on a constant basis, and people are sharing different things, and you're praying with different people, and you're asking God, Lord, give me the right things to say, the right words to say, and be able to pray and help them to navigate through their challenges. Because these are real challenges for people, and we're not just talking about unbelievers. We're talking about believers that have gotten weakened because of so many things that are happening. And even if they're not weakened, they just feel like, where do I go from here? How can I stay focused on, you know, my passion for God and serving God when I have to worry about this and what's going to happen with my children in school? And I wasn't prepared to be a parent and a teacher, and I wasn't prepared to do this, and I wasn't prepared. And they're feeling unprepared in this pandemic, and that's causing them to lose focus because they feel like they have to shift from being a mother to being a teacher or being a wife. You know, they have to shift from these roles when before they never had to shift into these roles. And so I think that, you know, going back to the knowledge base of knowing what the word says, because the Bible says the word is life. And so when you're able to put the word back, when you're able to put the word on the situation, put it back in its right place, I was thinking about the prayer earlier, and I thought what was saying, the Lord's will be done. What is God's will in for me? With my condition? What is God's will for me in this situation? What is God's will for me in this disappointment? What is God's will for me in my sickness? What is God's will for me with my child being in school and may have to stay home now? What is God's will? So being able to go back to the word and say, what is God's will for me according to his word in this situation? And when you can grab hold to what the word says, it gives you an anchor and helps you to get built up, to have something to hold on to so that you can continue to navigate through the storm. And as he was saying, that when you're on your destination, I've been in a storm driving on a highway that I didn't know anything about and where I was going and had to pull over and was trailing somebody and lost them in the storm. So I had to pull over and, you know, but I didn't go back. I kept saying to myself, I can't go back, you know. Coming from a church convention, I can't go back. The only thing I do is go forward, even if I don't know where I'm going. I got to keep going forward until I eventually catch up with them. You know, and I just had to keep going. So I pulled over, but I got right back at that, just trailing a little bit until the storm passed over, and I was able to navigate until I was caught up. So we have to be able to have the wisdom of God in this hour and the word of God to help us to anchor and navigate through the distractions, because the distractions are going to be there. We can't get away from the distractions, but we can have a mindset that's rooted in the word of God that gives us what we need to continue to help us to navigate through the distractions so that we can make the destination. And that destiny in this in this text was able to go to the other side. And as long as they kept that as their focus, they were able to get to the other side. And when you have the Lord with you, he will help you to get through whatever it is the distraction is bringing. He will help you to get through.
Well, and you know what? Thank you so much. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, let me get you in here. And of course, you know, if those of you who haven't been to her fellowship, I've been to Friendly Temple, and I'm not picking on this particular church, beautiful church, great pastor, you know, beautiful people. I love the ministry. Every time I'm in St. Louis, I go visit, except for that one time we went with some wild man who was preaching up a storm up in the middle of no man's land, tearing up people's churches. We won't talk about him, will we, Dr. Robinson? Anyway, let's move forward.
Oh, no.
But nonetheless, anyway, think about this for a minute, okay? Let's pull some more meat off this bone, okay? What do you think causes... Why is the church so easily distracted? I'm going to open this up for not just you, you first, and then anybody that wants to. Why in this day and age does it seem like the church is so easily? Why are we bowing down? I'll show you something, and I talked about this in our Bible study last night because I was asked the question, was there something in Scripture that describes or talks about the devil other than what we see in the New Testament? And we took them to Isaiah 14 and then over to Isaiah, to Ezekiel 20.
I was in Isaiah 14 this morning.
Yeah, and when you read, you'll find that there was a description of Lucifer, the archangel, who was in charge of worship. Why is it that, you know, and I'm saying it this way, I hope I'm saying this right, and if I'm not, nobody, do not hesitate to correct me if I'm saying it wrong, but got to get this right, because we don't believe in putting anything out there that cannot be backed up by the word. We get wrapped, tied, and tangled in the sound of gospel music and seem to, at some point later on, catch up to the words of gospel music. Why is that? Do we not realize who the choir master once was?
Amen.
It says right there in Ezekiel 28, between verses 11 to 19, it says, I believe it was the 21st or 22nd verse, he says, thy tabrets, in other words, thy tabrets are built in thee. And thy pipe, and God's just saying in so many words, I put you together, so I know what you all about, talking to Lucifer. Do we forget the fact that this guy is the master of any and all music that we ever hear on the face of this earth? Why do we forget that? And then we'll take a song, and I'm not picking on anybody, so nobody say, go back and tell so-and-so that I was talking about him. We're going to take... Patrice Rushen puts the song I've Been Looking For You out there in the world back in the late 70s. And then we turn around some 23, 24, 25 years later, and we start talking about God is looking for you. Haven't you heard? No. What's with the Canaanic sacrifices? Talk to me.
Well, I want to say that a lot of the people – when they don't have as much power, it's because either their prayer life is not significant, or they're not reading the word, or they're not trusting God, and they have become their own God. And so God said that he cannot dwell in a ego or egotistical body or someone who is not submitted to him. And so sometimes you tend to find people who think they are Lucifer. They are a Jesus Jr. Unfortunately, they aren't. And so with that being said, I think people tend to look for people instead of God for answers now these days, because I believe in fellowshipping. I believe in praying for one another. I believe in tarrying and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, my help comes from the Lord. And sometimes,
Amen.
I see that a lot of the churches like you said or mentioned earlier, is trying to become the God. Now, the church building is necessary, but it does not save you. The body of Jesus Christ is the Savior. The church building is where we build each other up, and we go outside the walls to tell someone about Jesus, and that is what we're missing. The church is becoming more of a fashion show, or who sings the best, or who looks the best, or who preached the best, or who says the prayers the best. And it's become more of a competition than a collaboration. And so when people see that, they say, what's the point of going to church? If I can, you know, see the same things in the church than I do in the world. So we are living in a perilous times where sometimes it's very sad, but it's really been, you know, prophesies in the Word. The Word prophesies that some of the believers aren't really believers, because if that's the truth, they would have a better soil. Their foundation would be more solid. But some foundations of the churches may not be as solid as people think they are, because they have numbers. Numbers means nothing. Jesus only had 12 disciples for a reason. He could have had, like, more than 12 disciples. I'm sure he had 12 disciples, but he announced how many disciples that there were in the Bible. But I'm sure there were many. But he chose 12. Why 12? God believed in small numbers.
All right. Well, let me say this, generally speaking, and this goes out to everybody. We've talked about from the negative, or pretty much the negative, what's going on and what it is that we see. What can we now do to bring back the focus and put the focus where it rightfully belongs, that is on God? How can we help as leaders? How can we help? What can we do to help people to come back to where God wants them to be? Somebody talk
to
me.
You have to first use Jesus has to be your first love, because you can't draw anyone. He said if we lift him up, he would draw men unto him. So we need to focus on Jesus and his love, and he must become our first love.
Okay. Are you sorry to say, Apostle Whitlow?
All I was going to say is that if we're going to point people back to Jesus Christ, then we have to stop making ourselves look so big, as if we're the ones to be honored and worshiped and glorified.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been troubled in the midst of a worship setting when people will sit down in the midst of worship, but when their leader walks in, everybody will stand up. Now, I do believe that
crazy.
We ought to give honor where honor. But how is it that we will honor men and women, but not the God of our salvation?
So I believe
that we have to point people back to the Lord God. It is as simple as that. I mean, at the end of the day, if it's not about God, then what are we doing in a worship setting all anyway? I mean, because one thing about God, this, first of all, is what he's looking for. He's looking for the worship. He's looking for the worshiper. All right? So there's something wrong if what God is looking for is being given to someone else. That really gets under God's skin, so to speak, because he said he's a jealous God. So the way to get people back on right track is to point everything to God, and I mean everything, point blank, period.
Wow. Anybody else?
I want to piggyback on that, because both of you know, because you come out of a ministry like that, that when the bishop or the bishop's wife got up to do something, it was like being at a football game.
Goodness.
But then we point our finger and open our mouth. When you go somewhere like the House of Prayer, who celebrates when that bishop walks in? Really, okay. What has happened in this broken focus? People started teaching that I'm the great, and y'all are great, and we're the baddest thing in town, and all this kind of foolishness. The talk was no longer about Jesus. It was about them. And when you take the focus, when you get people to watching you and not Jesus, everything else that will happen or can happen is about to happen because God is no longer involved.
Okay. All right now. My. Well, listen, I know we're coming down toward the end or the close of today's session. I was trying to keep it under an hour and, of course, time, but it didn't quite work out now, did it? Anyway, moving right along, anybody have anything else they want to add, share? Because I do have a few announcements I want to get out before we close the books on this one for tonight. Anything else that needs to be brought to the surface? Or make us aware of? Is there something we missed? Go ahead.
I just want to add, I agree with what has already been said, and I truly believe pointing back to Jesus is the key. And the scripture says, seeking first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing things, then all these other things will be added. And preaching truth. You know, there's it's so important to preach the unadulterated word of, and I mean the whole word of God, and not just pinpoint and pick out and choose what you want to, you know, to preach on, but preach the unadulterated word of truth without wavering, whether the people like it or not, be instant in season and out of season. This is a time where people need to know about God, need to have faith in God, need to know about holiness and clean living, need to go back to the fundamental foundational truths and recognizing that the fivefold ministry does have a place in the body of Christ. Go back to the apostolic teaching and the prophetic calling and allowing those to work in the church so the power of God can be manifested so that people can grab hold of faith and see the church in operation, pointing everything back to Jesus. You know, right way of living, believing God, trusting him, faith in God, and living this life out the way that God intended us to live it. So when people see that and when the world sees that the church is different and not intertwining with the world, but the church is different and making a difference, then we will win the lost to God. And so that's what God has called us to do, is to be different, to live this life in such a way that others will see and want the lifestyle that we live in. The Bible says in Acts that they turn the world upside down. It's time for the church to be the church. Go back where the focus has gotten off track and get back on track. And the only way you're going to do it is you're going to have to get back with the word of God and allow the Lord to be the one who's doing the leading and the guiding and to live this life out in holiness that God will get the glory in our lives.
I want to say something real quick because I've heard that a few times that what we have to do is we have to go back, if you will, to the basics. And here's the problem with that. If we go back to the basics, then we do this, what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that we are to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and let us go into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Watch this. This is the thing. What we have to do is we have to tell people you can no longer be on the nipple. I'm sorry, but you know right from wrong. You know what God requires. You know what is a standard. The Bible says that the wrath of God, help me, Holy Ghost, the Bible said that the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness and those who hold the truth of God in suppression. So it is not like people don't know. It is that people are choosing not to know. That's why we're in the stage of the apostates and the reprobates. And so, again, if we, I agree that we have to live this thing, but if we got to go back to the principles, then we are crucifying Christ all over again. And that is not what we're supposed to do to bring them back to Christ. No, we do have to preach the truth, and we do have to keep moving forward. We cannot go back now. We've come too far, gone through too much. And that's all I wanted to say. I'm not shooting down what you're saying, but if we're going back the basics, then we're going right back to the principles all over again, and we don't have time to do that.
I had just one quick thing that I just wanted to say.
Go ahead.
In the Bible, Jesus, when he was with his disciples, he said, Who does men say that I am? Who do men say that I am?
Uh-huh.
So then Peter said, thou art the Christ. And I just think that if you're going to maintain your focus, you are going to have to know God, know him for real, and know who he is for real. There is going to be a confidence in just knowing who he is and having that relationship. And another thing is that when you're talking about going back to the basics, you have to go back to, or we should go back to preaching that you must have the Holy Ghost. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to give you power to be able to withstand, to stay focused. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to be the comforter when these things and trials and different things come and you're trying to wonder what's going on in the world. The Holy Spirit will bring things back to your remembrance, the word of God that was spoken. Before, you know, time was, God spoke those things that would come to pass. So we have to go back to making sure that people know that they have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's all I have to say.
And let me say this in closing. Can I interject on that too?
Go for it.
And when I said, but when I go back to basics, I agree with what Pastor Whitland said from a certain standpoint. And at the same time, I agree with what Minister Henderson said. And when I was talking about the things, I mean, when I say preach or teach the truth or the unadulterated word of God, we don't hear people talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost anymore that much. We don't hear people talking about being holy and being unlicensed and separated as much as we used to. When I talk about the foundation, I really should just say the word of God, which is the truth, because now people are thinking that, okay, because I go to the church, I'm saved, you know, because I'm faithful every Sunday, I sing in the choir, I do this, I do that, that I'm born again. We need the message that people need to know. You need to be born again. You need your spirit to be regenerated. You need the Holy Ghost. You need, you know, you need the what the word says. And so when I talk about that, I mean preaching what God us saved. What got us saved is what's going to get other people saved. And we don't hear it, if we be honest, we're not hearing the same message as much that we heard when we got saved, because now it's all about prosperity, it's about this, it's about that. But I mean that same message. The Bible tells us to continue in the teaching. And we got to continue in that same teaching. If it was good for us, it got to be good for others. And so that's what I mean about go back to that same gospel message that saved you. What was it? You know, Jesus is Lord. You must be born again. Come out. You know, repent. That was the message. And, you know, holiness is still right. Clean living is still right. And that's the message when I talk about foundation. Still preach that, you know, and not this fluff message that just makes you feel good and, you know, tickle your ears, but you can't live the life. So when trouble comes, you don't have anything to hold on to. And so that's what I wanted to give clarity to what I was saying.
Brother Rich.
Yes, sir.
I finish with this.
Okay.
If we really want to look at the condition of the church in this hour. Mm. We need to look at one scripture.
Okay.
Here's the condition of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where Jesus is concerning the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my God and will open the door, seeing the side he's standing on, don't even have a door now. You got to open the door. The church has put Jesus outside, and he's knocking at his own people, saying, can you let me back in? I'm through.
Okay. Well, listen, I thank God for each and every one of you. I know we're just a tad. As a matter of fact, we're actually right on time when you stop and think about it with 5 minutes to go. And as always, before we close any broadcast, we often take the opportunity to offer to those of you who may not know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of this sin and the pardoning of your sins, the opportunity to receive and accept him as Lord and Savior of your life. I want to help you to understand that this is real simple, and I'm going to keep it down to a bare minimum. I like to call it the ABC. C's of salvation. A, acknowledge the fact that if you left the face of this earth in the condition you're in right now, having not received or accepted Jesus, in hell or Hades, take your choice, however you want to say it. B, believe that God sent his son to die in your place that you might have a right to the tree of life. And C, confess with your mouth because you believed in your heart and just confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible's crystal clear, and it's in Romans 10, 8 through 12 that you could read about how to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It says, if thou shalt confess, so let's talk English because many of us listening now are not from England and neither do we speak King James. So let's talk plain English. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God, the Bible says you shall be saved. Will you accept Jesus Christ on this given day? Very simple prayer. Just say, dear God in heaven, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I believe you sent your son to die for my sins. And I believe that he rose on the third day with all power in his hands. I now confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life, how to walk in a way that pleases you. Help me to nurture and grow that I would be all that you've called me to be. By faith, I receive Jesus as Lord of my life, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me put this word out. Let me put this word out. October 9th. 2021 at the Best Western Hotel Conference Center in West Haven, Connecticut. The 16th annual Hollaback Music Excellence Awards is going to take place, hosted by Dr. Jerry Green and yours truly, along with a host of others, with a special guest announcer, Sister Nina Taylor, is going to be in town. Our guest psalmist for this particular venture is none other than Sister I believe she's still pastoring, and I may be wrong, but Pastor Leandria Johnson, and also special guest appearance and ministry by Sister Vanessa Bell Armstrong, along with comedian Willie Brown. Tickets, go to hollaback.com. For those of you in the New Haven area, you can go to Kevin's Seafood, or you can give Brother Jerry Green a call. Go to his Facebook page and let them know that you're interested. Doesn't matter where you are, if you want to be part of it, we have a certain amount of tickets. There will be no comp tickets this year. Let me say that for those of you who are listening. There will be no comp tickets this year because of the downsizing of space and COVID protocol. Corners have to be trimmed right to the very edge. So if you're calling looking for comp tickets, oh boy, don't waste your time. Nonetheless, we pray that you're able to be with us on October the 9th. And the red carpet will begin at 5 p.m. and the actual show itself will begin precisely at 7 p.m. sharp. We pray that you're able to make it there. For more information, go to the Hollaback Excellent Music Excellence Facebook page or go to www.hollaback.com. Also, do not forget this coming Sunday, 10:30, on our prayer line, on the prayer line, Morningstar, a volume of the book International Deliverance Ministries will be on the prayer line. That number is 701-801-9842, 701-801-9842 at 12 noon, live, not on the prayer line, but live. And on social media, Power to Stand at 5 p.m., our good friend Bishop Derek Jefferson will be on his prayer line. And Pastor Henderson, please give us that number for Bishop Derek Jefferson's prayer line. This is a – they tell me he's got a series going right now that won't wait a minute. And I'm sure that Pastor Henderson's going to fill us in just a little bit. Come on and talk to us.
Amen. That number is 617-793-8161.
I greatly appreciate you. And as always, do not forget to tune in and listen to Blog Talk Radio. Let me finish. I'll get to that in a second. At 9 p.m. by way of Facebook Live, the very same prayer line you heard a little while ago, the 701-801-9842 number, that wild man himself preaching the roof off our houses and stomping on the devil because he know he has the victory. None other than Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow. So it's a full day of ministry. Now, I almost forgot. Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock for those of you, you men, and this is for the men only. Sorry, ladies, this is a men-only event. Every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, you can join us on that same prayer line as the Mighty Men of Valor come together and have prayer and have our weekly discussions. We kind of don't know what the topic is until we start talking. We've had people call in with some hot topics, and just to give you a small taste, ladies, I'm going to have to behave myself on this one. A question was asked just the other week. Is oral sex legal between a man and a woman that's married? I'm going to leave that right there. If you want to get no, don't answer me now. I know I see y'all right now slamming on your radio. Don't leave that radio alone. Just come, men, to the prayer call, and then let's talk about it. All right, all hearts and minds clear. Anything? Did I forget anything, panel? I want to thank my special guests, Apostle Whitlow, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, Pastor Anna Henderson, Minister Paula Henderson, and, of course, the lovely Dr. Kimmy Robinson. We thank you, each one, for coming in and for sharing and for putting out what God has given you. I always look forward, and it's always a pleasure and joy to have you on the show. If all hearts and minds to clear, Sister Kimmy Kim, get that music ready. I'm just simply going to say this to you. And a matter of fact, you know what, Apostle Whitlow? Let's use your phrase tonight because mine is too long. So give them the phrase and then send it on over to Sister Kimmy Kim. Come on, bro.
Go with God and he will go with you.
And drop. Before you do, my apologies. I can't let this one pass. Hold it, Sister Kim. Hold it, Sister Kimmy Kim. Apostle Smith, in hell, what should I do? Did I lose him? I did lose him. Go ahead, Sister Kimmy Kim. I think I lost him.
It was your love that lifted me. 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 When I couldn't take it, when I couldn't make it, oh, when I couldn't take it, yes, when I couldn't make it, oh, what love, yes, what peace, yes, what joy he gives. Oh, yeah. I was thinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Heard my despairing cry from the water. He lifted me. Now say, bear my eyes. Oh,